now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome to our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment. Joining us today via telephone, we have Nick Bucci, a former New Jersey State Police officer. How you doing, Nick?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Excellent. Thanks for joining us here on the program. And you're just brand new to joining Law Enforcement Against Prohibitions. Congratulations on joining the organization.
Well, thank you very much. But I've been a member of LEAP for the past 5 years.
Oh, I see. And new as a speaker, then?
One of the original founders of LEAP, Jack Cole, he actually was my partner in New Jersey State Police. We worked narcotic cases together.
Oh, wow.
So he talked me into joining LEAP, and I think in the past month or so, he then talked me into becoming a speaker for LEAP. He thought I had a lot to say about it, and he's right. I do, and I think it's time that we spread the word.
All right.
At least that I do, anyway.
Excellent. We're glad to have you on board. And I also have to make a quick mention and shout out to the executive director of LEAP, Major Neil Franklin. It's his birthday today. So happy birthday, Major Franklin. All right, Nick, you've been talked into becoming a speaker for LEAP. You say you have a lot to say about this. And I know of your background, if you're with Jack Cole and working New Jersey State Police narcotics work, you definitely have seen the inside of what Prohibition has done to this country. How do we get ourselves out of this? What are we going to have to do politically to extricate ourselves from the war on drugs?
Well, I think we got to take a real hard look at what we've been doing for the past 40 years and decide once and for all that it isn't working. We've got to change the way we do things. In my own personal opinion, I think what we have to legalize all drugs. And in doing that, we then gain control of the marketplace. And we put some of these cartels out of business, street gangs. And that's the only way we're going to be able to do this.
You know, the people on the other side of this issue, I think they've even begun to recognize that the majority of the people, so something like 93%, recognize the war on drugs as a failure. And so their strategic retreat is to say, oh, yeah, we shouldn't lock people up and arrest them, but let's not go so far as legalize. Why don't we just decriminalize? Why don't we just reduce penalties? Why isn't that a strategy we should employ?
Well, that strategy itself will not work because you're not taking the profit motive out of the drug business. It's not going to end the street corner drug sales. You know, young people out there buying drugs on the street, they don't know what they're getting. So we decriminalize it. They're still going to go out there and buy their drugs from street dealers. They never know what they're getting when they're buying from that. So we had a good controlled and regulated market where people could buy their drugs or get their drugs illegally from bona fide places, that would reduce the problems we have with overdose deaths. You know, I live in New Jersey, and in 2013, we had, in New Jersey alone, 550 overdose deaths from opioids. 550. In 2014, we had a reduction to less than 100, which on the surface you would say, wow, we're really doing something here in New Jersey. But you know what? If it wasn't for that product, Naloxone, or Narcan, as it's called, we would have had well over 200 overdose deaths here in New Jersey. So again, we have to control that market, and we have to regulate that market. That's what I'm all about.
Well, I think, you know, as far as the American people are concerned, when it comes to marijuana, they're getting on that side. Polls are showing, they say, marijuana is safer than alcohol, and four states have legalized already. How do you convince the people, wait, cocaine, methamphetamine, heroin, ecstasy, Molly, whatever, LSD ought to be legal too? How do you talk to, you know, parents about that who would be scared of those drugs?
Well, I ask parents, you know, when they talk about, well, especially heroin, everybody today talks about heroin. You want to legalize heroin? And I tell them, you know, when legalizing heroin, what we're doing really is we're removing it from a schedule that the Drug Enforcement Administration put heroin in a Schedule 1 area. Now, drugs are classified from Schedule 1 to Schedule 5, I think it is, mm-hmm. in drug. And they put heroin in Schedule 1 right alongside, believe it or not, marijuana. That it has no medical benefit and it's highly addicting. But we know marijuana does have a medical benefit. I mean, look at the states that are legalizing marijuana, so that tells you something. And as far as heroin is concerned, they say, well, it was, you know, if you look back about heroin, it was made illegal because it was stronger than morphine. You know, our boys that came back from the war in World War One were addicted to morphine, and a chemist figured out a way to make another drug that would take care of that. And that drug was heroin. Then they found out heroin was more addicting than the morphine, so they made it illegal. Well, today we have a Schedule 2 drug out there that is legal that you can get from a doctor, and it's called fentanyl. And that stuff is 40 times stronger than heroin. So why don't we put that in the Schedule 1? Because no. We put it there because doctors can prescribe it. It's a Schedule 2 drug, and that's what we're trying to do with heroin, move it from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 2. Same thing with cocaine. You know, if you go back through history with cocaine, the way cocaine was first discovered, it was done as a local anesthetic, and it's legal as a local anesthetic. But yet, it's classified as a Schedule 1 drug in a different form. It's still cocaine. So that's what I'm trying to get people to think about. You know, let's take these drugs and move them to a Schedule 2. Make them legal, then we can control it and we can regulate it.
So under that idea, legalizing drugs is merely, you know, moving them to the appropriate schedules. Would there be anything left in Schedule 1? Would there be a need for a Schedule 1?
No, none whatsoever. That's what they should do away with. They should do away with that Schedule 1. All drugs should be controlled and regulated, not made illegal. Because when you make a drug illegal, you can't do any science on it. You can't do any research on it because it's an illegal drug, and the government will not allow you to do it unless they are doing it. And they pretty much will tell you what the outcome should be. If you know, there are people out there that get government grants to look at heroin addiction. Well, these government grants are approved. But the government already knows what the outcome is going to be. Otherwise, they would never approve these grants to put them out there. They put them out there like, well, it's heroin. Tell us what the bad part of heroin is, what it does, how it affects your brain. And there's people out there that'll do that just to get that grant money. And that's, again, I always say, just follow the money.
We're speaking with Nick Bucci. He's a former New Jersey State Police narcotics officer and a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition on their Speakers Bureau. You can find more speakers at leap.cc, LEAP.cc, and they've got speakers all around the country and even around the world. They'll send you someone to talk to your Rotary Club or City Council or whoever needs talking to. Get a hold of Leap and make it happen. Now, Nick, as we talk about this idea of, you know, moving things to the different drug schedules, that presents an interesting question, which is, if someone needs to get anesthetic cocaine, they're usually going through nasal surgery, dental surgery, and here's a reason why you need anesthetic cocaine. How is someone going to acquire LSD or methamphetamine under Schedule 2? Are they going to go to a doctor and say, hey, doc, I need to trip? I need to speed up or something?
Well, if you look at the word methamphetamine in Schedule 1, where they say it's illegal, methamphetamine is actual amphetamine. And you can find amphetamines in a doctor's office. I mean, kids are prescribed a type of amphetamine. I think it's Ritalin. It's one of the drugs that are prescribed to children with attention deficit disorder, and they're actually getting a amphetamine. Now, methamphetamine and amphetamine, there isn't much difference between the two chemicals. I'm not a chemist, but I do know they're very closely related. And the thing with methamphetamine, it's so easy to make it in a clandestine laboratory. Very easy. I mean, I worked methamphetamine cases when I was in the state police, and all you needed was certain chemicals you mixed together, certain beakers, and you got your product, and you put it out there in the street as meth. You know, so if we can eliminate that, get that off the street by making it illegal to obtain this type of substance to a doctor, again, we're gonna help put these people out of business.
Well, I guess the point I'm getting to is that if I need to go to a doctor to get my meth, my cocaine, my LSD, doctor wants to know what's wrong with me, what he's prescribing for. It's not really an on-demand situation. Whereas drug dealer on the street, all he cares about is if I have the money. So putting the doctors in there, is that going to cause a problem that would keep the black market in business?
In some cases, yes. In some cases, it would. But again, by legalizing and controlling it. You know, a doctor at least can sit down with somebody who wants LSD and, you know, and talk to him as to why he wants it, what his alternatives are, what his problems are. Street dealer, he doesn't care. You know, he'll sell you LSD. And he doesn't know what the product is or how much of that product is there. I mean, we made a seizure of LSD one time in a small city in New Jersey. And when I took it to the chemist lab, he examined it, and it came in vials. He examined it, and he called me back. He says, "Nick, can you handle this stuff? Did anybody get anything on their fingers?" And I said, "No, they were right in the vials." He says, "We have a standard here in the state police laboratory. This stuff far exceeded the standard that was there." He said, "One drop of this stuff would kill you in a second." So again, it's all made in a clandestine laboratory, and you know. At one point, there was a time when LSD was used by psychiatrists in a clinical study, and then it was made illegal. They couldn't use it. They couldn't, you know, perform anything with it. So. Yeah.
It actually shows some promise in helping alcoholics. I've read some research literature on that. Nick, I want to thank you for being on the show. And I think I get to thinking that, you know, under that legal regime, it might be kind of like Viagra, right? Like when you get your Viagra, you're supposed to have erectile dysfunction, but somehow it's all these younger men that are getting the pills. So maybe it's something.
Good point.
But at least they're talking to their doctor, right? They get told what the side effects are.
Talk to your doctor.
And you know that the little blue pill you're getting is the real thing and not laced with something else. Okay. Thank you so much for joining us. Give my best to Jack if you get to see him soon. And thank you for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show.
My pleasure.
All right. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we will have our anti-drug public service announcement of the day. Those are back. And my radical rant, another day, another mass shooting in America. We're going to talk about how we talk about it. We'll go meta on this one. Weed helps me go meta. Stick around. We're right back after this.
Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired.